I tithed my way out of financial ruin. I tithed my way out of financial ruin. Just what somebody shared with me this week. So if you're battling, maybe God is saying something. Let's pray. Let's give thanks. Lord, your word says that you can do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. And we know, Lord, that in this area of our lives, you do more. Thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God, that as we need, that you provide. In many areas of our lives, we don't even realize what you do. We give you grateful thanks that you are ever present, ever on a journey with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with many different things. We pray for those people here in our congregation, in our country, in the world, Lord, that are struggling, that are battling. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill them now with your spirit of peace. And I pray, Lord, that you help with jobs, with food, with places to stay. Come, Holy Spirit. Also pray for the different areas in our world that are at war, Lord. We don't know all of the difficulties that are going on, but we do know that there are people suffering. And we pray that you, Holy Spirit, will come alongside those that are suffering, that you would bless them. Lead us with hard hearts, that you would lead them to a place of finding you, the true light, and taking a stand for you instead of a stand for selfishness. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And thank you, Lord, for these tithes and offerings. Bless them, we pray. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. I had a conversation in the coffee shop, and according to our constitution, if there's a moderator and at least two members of session, that's a quorum. And so I said to them in the coffee shop, hey, should we give away free cappuccinos tonight at the carol service? And because it was me and three elders, well, it was a quorum plus a bit of extra. Well, the one elder, being my wife, said definitely. She's always in for coffee. And so just so that you know that tonight at the carol service, oh, Lauren's not here to give me dirty looks. She's our treasurer. That was close. Dodged a bullet there. Free cappuccinos tonight at the carol service. Okay. Okay, thank you. Yes, yes. Oh dear. The scripture this morning, I've got two scriptures, Psalm 126 and Luke 2:10-12. This is the word of the Lord. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And then Luke 2, verse 10 to 11. You've heard this already once, read by those incredible young ladies. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So today we lit the third candle. Well, and the first and the second, because we're a little bit slow. But anyway, and the third candle is the joy candle. You might not know it, you can't see it from down there, but there are four candles. That much you do know, I know that. But three of them are a dark purple. Then there's one that is a lighter pink or a lighter purple, and then there's one that is white. And the third candle, the joy candle, is the one that is slightly lighter. And a traditional reading for the Sunday of joy in our Advent calendar is Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And that candle was set aside as special because of that scripture and because in Latin, rejoice means gaudete. So we're in our gaudete Sunday, or we're in the special pink candle Sunday, but that's why that candle's a different color, because joy is something incredible that we can celebrate. And as Darren and Ziva read, they read about the shepherds. Imagine for a moment that you're a shepherd in a field, hey, just going about your shepherding business, and then suddenly this moment happens. Angels appear. Woo! Amen. Can't wait. Something similar is going to happen tonight at the carol service, but there'll be little angels with like, you know, all over the place angels. Hey, yeah, it's going to be crazy. But they appear, and the message is, we bring you good news, which will cause great joy. Wow. Good news, great joy. Always remember that the gospel is good news. It's not bad news. If you're trying to tell somebody about the gospel and it's sounding bad, it's not the gospel, okay? The gospel is about salvation. It's about love of God. It's about sins being erased. So, good news. In the Old Testament, oftentimes people would celebrate and be full of joy because of things that God had done. And they would approach God in these special moments. You can most probably think of a couple in the Old Testament. But at Christmas time, something different happens. Instead of us approaching God, God has decided to approach us. He has become man. He lived among us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. It's a very different moment. He was inside the veil of the temple, that thick curtain, and now he's outside. He's with us. He's right with us today. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Whew, that's a tall order sometimes. And Galatians 5, one of the fruit is joy. It's the second one. I don't know if that's just by accident or what, but it's love, joy, peace. Joy is right there, number two. It's a really important thing in our lives. And it comes to life as the Holy Spirit works within us. I'm so glad we sang that song, Come Holy Spirit. That should be a prayer that's on our lips more often than not. Come Holy Spirit, help me in my life. Come Holy Spirit, lead and guide me today. Come Holy Spirit, fill me with the joy. Is joy simply another thing that we should push into? How does it really work? Throughout the Bible, genuine joy is usually the result of a gift from God. Joy is a response to something that God does. One example that relates perfectly to this moment is the moment when Mary sings a song. She finds out she's pregnant. She finds out that it's going to be the Son of Man, and she sings. I couldn't kind of work out what tune this would go to, and I know my wife would suggest I don't actually try and put it to a tune. But Luke 1:46-50 says this, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation. Whew. She sings a song because she's filled with joy. We often sing as well when we're full of joy. And then the psalm that I read. It's a really nice psalm. It's got two parts. The first part is reflective. It's looking back. And then the second part is anticipatory. It's looking forward. And the author is standing right in the middle of these two perfect halves. And because you might have missed it, not knowing this awesome bit about that psalm, I'm going to read it again, okay? The looking backwards part first. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. And then looking in this direction, anticipating. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. If you've ever cried, don't worry. Oof, songs of joy. Those who are going out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. That's a story about, those lines are about abundance, about we have this, but we'll come back with this. Joy is a thing that really is awesome. But then sometimes joy is elusive. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. We're not joyful 24/7, although it says rejoice always. And I guess, again, I say rejoice. But sometimes we're not joyous. We kind of don't lose that. We don't have that joy all the time. Sometimes people avoid joy. I read this quote. I thought I had to share this with you. This is from Dwight Schrute, and he is from The Office. It's a TV sitcom, okay? I never smile if I can help it. Showing one's teeth is a sign of submission in primates. When someone smiles at me, all I see is a chimpanzee begging for its life. That's a classic quote. And as much as it's a TV sitcom and it's a comedy, there's some truth in that for some people. Joy is a thing that people don't want to step into or battle to step into. It's a tough place for some people. And I want to invite you today to be people of joy. So how do we have this joy? How are we filled with this joy? What is the thing? Well, the first thing, Jesus brings the joy of salvation. 4 points to my sermon, not a traditional sermon. The first point is, Jesus brings the joy of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Big statement here. The greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation, given out of the greatest love of all by the greatest one of all, Almighty God. Salvation is the greatest gift ever. That's why I put that out there. It's the greatest gift ever. And it's all God's doing. God the Father decided to offer salvation. God the Son paid the price for our salvation. And God the Holy Spirit regenerates us, gives us the opportunity to be born again. So the gift of salvation is the gift of justification. A bit of theology here for those people who want a little bit more this morning. The gift of salvation is the gift of justification. By faith, those who are born again are justified. Only a judge can justify. Only a judge can declare righteous or not guilty or not condemned. And God is the only judge who ultimately matters. Justification is necessary because the world that God loves is guilty. There is not one without sin. God and Him alone can justify and forgive us of all our sins. As we are justified, there is no mark of sin left in our lives. Does God remember our sin? Not a bit. Do we remember our sin? Unfortunately, that's the big problem, not God, us. I remember at school we had blackboards. Anybody remember blackboards? Then we had green boards. I don't know why. And then we've got whiteboards. Silly invention. So, okay, that's my theory on education that I'm not going to share with you. But blackboards, I remember blackboards. Do you remember that after a day they would get somebody, it was like a big thing, you could clean the blackboard. Woo! If the duster hadn't hit you on the head during the class, you could get the duster and clean the blackboard. But there was always some stuff left. And then every now and then, I don't know when it was, somebody came with a bucket of water and cleaned it, and it looked brand new. You couldn't see any remnant. Before that, there were traces. You know, the child that was slightly squinted cleaned the board last. There were little bits of chalk left over. Or there was the smear of chalk that was left because it didn't all come off with that duster. But you see, this is what we're offered. We're not offered that duster blackboard cleaning in our lives. Justification is about completely being forgiven of the sin in our lives. It's that clean, fresh board cleaned with a cloth and soap. You don't see anything. God sees us like that. He doesn't see the sin. He's forgotten that. It's as far as the east is from the west. So, the gift of salvation is the gift of justification. It's also the gift of sanctification. Jesus is the light of the world. Light lets the new believer see the spiritual darkness in the world. I remember when I became a Christian, I was happily doing whatever the world was doing. And then when I became a Christian, suddenly the light shone the darkness and showed me what it really was. And the light also lets us stay close to Almighty God, lets us obey His commands. If we make a mistake, we confess. When we sin, we repent. And because we love the light and we love God more than the darkness, we are forgiven. This is an ongoing process. So we're justified clean like that blackboard. Then sanctification kicks in, a process of growing in the light. And then the salvation gift is also the gift of glorification. One day we will be gloried with Him at the end of our lives. We will enter into glory with Almighty God. Justified the moment we turn to Him, sanctified the journey of our lives, glorified. We'll step into heaven one day and be with Almighty God. John 3:21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Your reward at the end will be greater than anything you can imagine now. You will be in the new earth and the new heaven forever with the Lord Jesus Christ, with all believers who have gone before you. You will not perish but have eternal life, as the scripture says. And the gift of salvation is the gift of joy. Luke 15, Jesus tells us three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son. The sheep goes missing, the sheep is found, the shepherd comes back and is overjoyed and has a party. The coin is lost. The woman searches until she finds the coin. She finds it, she's overjoyed, has a party. The son is lost. The son comes back. The father sees the son and he says, we're going to have a party. Do you see the thing that's happening here? The shepherd, the woman, and the father are pictures of Almighty God. And as the lost come back, they are overjoyed. He's overjoyed. And he wants to party. When we come back to Almighty God, there is joy. Luke 15:7 says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. I'm pretty sure there's people coming to know Christ every second of every day in this world. There must be a massive party that just will not stop in heaven. Just picture the moment you said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want you in my life. Boom. It's another one. Brrr, doosh, woo. Hey, massive, joyful explosion. Wow. You didn't even know that. I didn't know that when I became a Christian. Number two, Jesus brings the joy of life. Wow, 4 points, Brian. This is going to be a long day. Life is only found in Jesus Christ. He says it time and time again. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6. I'm the way and the truth and the life. And then one of the very important scriptures. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But I have come to give you life and have it to the full. Jesus gives us life. And this verse is very, very important. He doesn't just come and give us life. He gives us life to the full. Other versions will say life abundantly or life in abundance. Come on. That's the kind of life that we're living. This is not a side note to the foot or a footnote to the life of a Christian. This is the headline of our lives. How can this be? In John 10:7, we read about Jesus saying, I'm the gate for the sheep. Does sound a little bit strange to us. A person is a gate. Imagine if you were the gate, standing at your front door the whole day. But how can a person be a gate? Well, in the days when this was written, shepherds did that. They were devoted to their sheep, and the sheep would be in their enclosure, and the shepherd would sleep in the entranceway. He was the gate. Evil could not get in. The sheep would not get out until he said, okay, let's go. It's daylight. Let's go and eat. But that's what happens. That's what happened. And just in the same way, Jesus is the only way for the sheep to get in and out. Jesus is the only way for us to get to the Father. So he brings the joy of life. Jesus also brings the joy of eternal life. John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but have crossed over from death to life. Eternal life is in the reassurance or the assurance of a place in heaven one day when we pass from this earth. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not once do we read this. We read it over and over and over. Eternal life. It's a gift from God as we step into Jesus Christ in faith. And we don't fully realize this gift until we do pass from this world to the next. It starts at the moment that we say, Lord, forgive me, and extends all the way to the time when we step off this earth. Salvation is given as we recognize the sinful condition of our hearts. And by faith, we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We accept his work on the cross. We repent. And we are given forgiveness of sins. When I was a little bit younger, I still like a little bit of music in the tradition of ska. If you know what ska music is, then you'll kind of get a picture of Brian for a moment there. But there was a group called Stella Cart. And Stella Cart, they had a song and it said, life is good, eternal life is better. Life is good, eternal life is better. And we know that. The promise of what we will have one day is better than anything we can ever have here. Faith in Christ ensures eternal life. So Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Jesus brings the joy of life. Jesus brings the joy of eternal life. And then finally, Jesus brings joy. John 15:11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. My joy is in you, and your joy is complete. Jesus has just been talking about the vine and the branches when he says that. The key is to remain in the vine. And as we remain, we are pruned. And as we are pruned, we are more fruitful. Beautiful picture. The vine and the branches. The vine is God, the branches, that's us. And then as we remain, we are promised that we will produce much fruit. Much fruit. As we remain in the vine, Jesus remains in us. It's a picture of a relationship between us and God. And as we remain in the vine, we are fruitful. There's a further promise that as we remain, we can ask anything that we wish, and it will be done for us. John 15:9-11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands and you remain in my love, just as I've kept your Father's commands and remain in his love, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Oof. Jesus brings the joy of salvation. Jesus brings the joy of life. Jesus brings the joy of eternal life. And then Jesus simply brings joy. Chris Tomlin sings the song Joy to the World, and it's based on the Christmas carol or the hymn, but then he adds in this extra line. So the choruses are like this: joy to the world, the Lord has come, da 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 da. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns, da 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 da. He rules the world with truth and grace, da 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 da. And then he adds in this piece: joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go. That's what this day is about. That's what Christmas is about. That's what being a Christian is all about. Joy, unspeakable joy. We have salvation, life, eternal life, and we have joy, unspeakable joy. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate joy today, that we can be reminded of your great joy, and that as we step into your joy becomes complete in us. And we long for that complete joy. We long to be close to you and also to be filled with joy. So as we face difficult times, come, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to know you more and to be filled with your joy. And I pray, Lord, that we would be joy to others as well. That your joy would be in us and we would be joyous people. That others would see us and know there's something different about us and want to know where we find this joy. Let our lives point to you, we pray, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our song for the communion, to lead us into communion. And if you've got children in Kids Zone, you're very welcome to go and get them because they join in with us.